Now let's admit it. The rut and routine and ravine that Elijah in wasn't that good. I mean, he's eating leftover food and drinking water out of brook, but he's in a little narrow space. But it was comfortable. He knew it. He'd gotten comfortable and complacent with the rut he was in when there was a whole wide world out there that God wanted him to see. And as long as the brook was bubbling and the birds were bringing food, Elijah wasn't going to move. You see, we don't change when we see the light. We change when we feel the heat.
Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Today we begin a series called, When You're Hoping for a Miracle. In it, Rick is going to show us from God's Word that when it comes to living with more love, peace, patience, and self-control, we should never lose hope. That's because God loves us and has great things planned for our lives. Stay with us. Now, in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about a book called God's Power to Change Your Life. This book by Pastor Rick Warren is perfect for anyone who feels stuck and unable to make real and lasting change. You can text the word DAILY to 99000 while you listen to find out more. That's PastorRick.com or just text the word DAILY to 99000. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called When You're Running Out of Everything.
You don't know God is all you need until God is all you've got. And that's why God often allows a shortage, a deficiency, a lack in your life. If I were to ask you, what are you lacking today? You might say, well, I need more energy. I need more money. I need more emotional support. I need more creativity. I need more opportunity. I need a job. All of those things that happen in your life happen really for a reason. And today we're going to look at what I call, what do you do when you're running out of everything? And today we're going to look at three incidents in the life of a man named Elijah. Elijah was about 900 years before Jesus Christ. And he went through three experiences, they're all in 1 Kings chapter 17, that teach us lessons on how God wants to do miracles when there are things that are happening in our lives that cause us to lack what we need. Now, let me give you a little background of this story. There were three kings in Israel that united the kingdom, Saul, and then David, and then Solomon. But after that, the place fell apart. And Israel was divided into two kingdoms, a northern kingdom called Israel and a southern kingdom called Judah. And in the northern kingdom, for the next 60 years, they had a string of terrible leaders. 19 different kings in northern Israel, and every one of them was a rotten apple. They were terrible politically, terrible economically, and most important, terrible spiritually. And then, as you think that everything's falling apart, you know, the government is now bankrupt, and the nation is in recession. Okay. And the Bible tells us that the current king and queen were the worst of all of the previous 19. The worst king and queen in Israel's history were named Ahab and Jezebel. You've heard of her, probably. Ahab and Jezebel. They were the worst king and queen in all of Israel's history. And the reason why they were so bad is not only were they terrible leaders politically, economically, but spiritually, they got rid of the worship of God and they brought in a false god, a pagan god, an idol called Baal. And they established Baal as the official religion of Israel, the Jewish nation. So God sends Elijah as a spokesman, as a prophet, to go confront King Ahab. And Elijah says to Ahab and to Jezebel, because of your wickedness and because you've led the nation to worship false gods, it's not going to rain anymore in this country until I, the prophet of God, say so. Now, we later find out this actually ended up being 3.5 years. 3.5 years without rain in the nation of Israel, which meant they were in terrible drought, terrible dryness, terrible famine. But Elijah says, because of your sin, leader, the nation's going to suffer for 3.5 years. This message did not sit well with Ahab. In fact, he and his wife Jezebel were furious. They were ticked, and they put a price on Elijah's head. They said, "We're going to kill you." And they authorized bounty hunters and assassins to find Elijah and kill him. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 17, there on your outline, it's in your program. Now, Elijah confronted King Ahab. "As surely as God lives, the God of Israel, whom I worship and serve, there will be no dew or rain until the next few years, unless unless I give the word." Now, as I said, the Bible says everything in the country dried up for 3.5 years. Maybe you feel that way in your life. Maybe you feel like the joy's dried up in your life. Your savings have dried up. During this time of spiritual and emotional and economic dryness, God did some miracles for Elijah, and he taught some lessons to Elijah that you and I need in this current recession. God wants us to learn the same things. So my question for you is, are you ready for a miracle? Now, during this time of dry period, which maybe you're going through right now, God took Elijah to 3 different places, and they represent 3 different phases that you go through in your life. You'll go through them over and over again. For the first year of the 3.5 years of drought, God took Elijah to a place called Kerith. And Kerith was a place and a time of obscurity. The Bible says this, there on your outline, verse 2, 1 Kings 17. "Then the Lord said to Elijah," this is after Ahab had said, "I'm going to kill you, "go east and hide in the Kerith ravine, east of the Jordan River. The Kerith brook will give you fresh water to drink, and I've commanded ravens to bring you food there every day." That's unusual. So Elijah obeyed what the Lord said to do. He moved to the Kerith ravine, and he lived there. And the birds brought him food each morning and evening, and he drank from the brook. But after a while, the brook dried up because there was no rain. Now, the first stop in Elijah's journey of faith is the ravine, the Kerith ravine. What is a ravine? A ravine is a natural rut. It is a narrow, long gorge. The Grand Canyon started off as a ravine, but it got bigger and bigger, and a wide ravine is called a canyon. Here's what a ravine looks like here on the screen. It's long and it's narrow. Now, how would you like to live there for a year? You wouldn't. A ravine is dark, it's narrow, it's cold, and it's lonely. Some of you are in an emotional Kerith right now. You're going through a time that seems dark and cold and deep and lonely. Now, Elijah is an extrovert. He's not used to being alone. And God says, "I'm going to put you in a ravine for a year. I want you to hide there." Do you know what Kerith means in Hebrew? It means cut off. That's what it means, cut off. And Elijah is cut off from everything. Cut off from all of his friends, cut off from social interaction, cut off from what's happening in the world. He's cut off from the limelight. He's cut off from attention. He is literally all by himself. What is going on here? God takes an extrovert and makes him a hermit for a year. What's happening here? God had great plans for Elijah. This is at the very beginning of his ministry, and God did incredible miracles through this guy, amazing things through this guy in the years ahead. But first he said, "You need time alone with me. I need to narrow your focus. You need to focus on me. You need to develop your inner life. You need time alone with me and nobody else. I want your undivided attention for a year. So I'm going to put you in a ravine." And what is a ravine? It's a rut. That's what it is. It's a rut. And it's dark and deep and it's narrow. And God says, "I want you to have a time out of a year for reflection." God often uses, listen, private darkness in your life to prepare you for public ministry in the light of day later on.
The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But first, If you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, or Instagram, go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. And click on his social media links. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the other helpful resources. Again, that's PastorRick.com.
What does it take to become more loving, live more peacefully, develop patience, have self-control? In the years I've been a pastor, writes Rick Warren, the number one question I'm asked is, Rick, why can't I change? People want to change, but they're stuck. Do you want to break free? Here's how. In the book, God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren, you'll find practical guidance for specific types of change and a way to connect with the power to actually make the changes you long to make. As you apply the truth of God's Word by the power of His Spirit, your life will change. You'll move out of your rut and get on track with God's wonderful purposes for your life. We would love to send you a copy of God's Power to Change Your Life as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com right now to request the book God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren. Again, that's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Thanks.
Once again, here's Rick.
God often uses, listen, private darkness in your life to prepare you for public ministry in the light of day later on. Now, during this time that he's in this rut, and some of you are in a rut right now, God supernaturally provided for him in a very unusual way. He has ravens, birds, bring food over the top of the ravine and drop it. Now, this is not exactly gourmet food, friends, because where do birds get their food? Off of other people's plates. And they'd find a little piece of meat here and a little piece of bread there, and they'd pick it up and they'd take it, and then God would have them drop it down in this ravine. And so for a year, Elijah's eating leftovers at the best. On the other hand, he may be eating a dead carcass that they picked up somewhere. So this is not exactly, you know, a Club Med vacation here, but he's in this pit and his only support is from God. There's no food there. And so the birds have to bring it, and he's got water that God has provided in this brook. His only support is from God. Remember, you don't know God's all you need until God is all you've got. And then in chapter 17, verse 7, it says, the brook dried up. Now, this is such an important concept, an important principle in your life. The brook's going to dry up in your life many, many times. So I want you to remember this phrase. In fact, I want you to remember where it is in the Bible. So we're going to memorize it. Now, the hard part, the brook dried up. That's not hard to remember. But the hard part is remembering the address. Where is it in the Bible? So whenever you want to memorize a verse, you say the address before and after. 1 Kings 17:7, the brook dried up. 1 Kings 17:7. So let's say it together. 1 Kings 17:7, the brook dried up. 1 Kings 17:7. Some of you right now are in a situation where the brook has dried up in your life. The brook has dried up in your life. The money's not there. The friend isn't there. The support isn't there. The energy isn't there. Your health isn't there. Things have dried up in your life. And the Bible says in where? 1 Kings 17:7, the brook dried up. 1 Kings 17:7. What does that mean? You're going to need this verse because many times in your life, the brook's going to dry up. What's it mean? When something good is all of a sudden gone in your life. When something that was enjoyable is now empty. What was refreshing to you is no longer there. Something that delighted you, a job, a relationship, whatever brought you delight is now disappointing you. And the brook dries up in your life. 1 Kings 17:7. Now, what do you do when the brook dries up in your life? Relationally, emotionally, economically, or whatever. You do three things. You remember three things. There are three reasons brooks dry up in your life. And you need to know this because it's going to happen over and over. Number one, brooks dry up to keep me from depending on the brook. That's the first reason. Brooks dry up in your life to keep me from depending on the brook instead of God. You see, Elijah was in this ravine, in this rut for a year, and it would be very easy for him to just forget God and focus on the birds and the brook because they are supplying his need. He doesn't have to work. It's all right there. The birds bring the food and the brook gives the water, and pretty soon, if you depend on a bird every day to drop food down to you, week after week, month after month, for the full year, pretty soon, you're not thinking about God. You're thinking about, is the bird on time? Okay. Is the bird on time? Some of you, the bird is late in your life right now. And you got a pile of bills at home, like this. And you think the bird's late. And if the water's coming down the brook, you might just start to assume it's always going to be there. And so God says, whatever you're trusting in, and that's not me, I'm going to turn it off. I've been trusting in my job for my security. Well, we'll just turn that off. I've been trusting in my health. Well, we'll just turn that off. I've been trusting in this friend of mine. Well, we'll just turn that off. God says, you must trust in me. Anything you put before me is a false god. It's an idol. Now, you see, it's human nature for us to trust the brook and the birds. What do you trust? What's the bird and the brook in your life? It's whatever you're looking for to give you happiness. Maybe your husband, maybe your job, maybe your sports, it may be your health. And you're looking to something besides God to meet your needs. Now, we have this thought that if God ever gives us a gift, and by the way, everything in your life is a gift from God, your brain, your ability, your freedom, your life, your next heartbeat, your air that you breathe, it's all a gift from God. That if God gives something to you, he has no right to take it back. Well, that's nonsense. Because God is God, and he has the right to give it to you and to take it away if he wants to. God is sovereign. And sometimes when God gives us something and then it's taken away, maybe not even by God, that it just vanishes like a job, then we start getting mad at God. I don't have the job I used to have. Why? What's wrong with you, God? I don't have the health I used to have. I don't have the I've lost my husband. I've lost my child. That was a gift to you. And no gift on earth is eternal. Except eternal life. No gift is going to last forever on this planet. It's all just a gift. And God has a right to give it, take it away if he thinks you're depending on it for your source of joy instead of him. There's a second reason the brook dries up. And the second reason is to move me to a better place. God had no intention of leaving Elijah in the ravine, in that rut, for the rest of his life. It was simply a one-year temporary retreat for reflection. He was protecting Elijah while there's a bounty on his head, and the assassins are out to get him. But God didn't intend for Elijah to be born to live in a rut the rest of his life. And God doesn't intend for you to live in the rut you're in the rest of your life. You see, we get very complacent about the ruts and routines in our life. Now, let's admit it. The rut and routine and ravine that Elijah in wasn't that good. I mean, he's eating leftover food and drinking water out of brook, but he's in a little narrow space. But it was comfortable. He knew it. He'd gotten comfortable and complacent with the rut he was in when there was a whole wide world out there that God wanted him to see. And as long as the brook was bubbling and the birds were bringing food, Elijah wasn't going to move. You see, we don't change when we see the light. We change when we feel the heat. When all of a sudden we're forced to change. And sometimes God dries up stuff in your life to move you. God wants to move you to a new place in your life. Often what we think is bad, the brook dried up. I lost my job. Could be the best thing that happened to you. How many times has something you thought was bad actually turned out for the good in your life? You can think of a lot of times that's happened. The things that you thought were going to destroy you are actually developing you. They're making you the great person you are. They're building your character. They're developing you. What you thought was going to destroy you actually develops you. Sometimes God turns off the water supply, the supply of whatever we're looking for to trust, because he's saying, I want to move you to a new place. I want you to focus on a new way. I want you to try a new thing. You know, nothing gets you in shape faster than having your health go bad. And all of a sudden you say, well, maybe I ought to start eating right. Maybe I ought to start exercising. You know, those kind of things get your attention. God often dries up the brook in your life to keep you from depending on the brook instead of him, to move you to a better place, and number three, to prove that he has not forgotten you. If God didn't care, he could have put Elijah in that ravine and left him there the rest of his life. But God did care about Elijah, and for that reason, he dried up the brook so that Elijah could have something better. It proves, you see, when things go wrong in our lives, we often think, God's forgotten me. No, it means God is paying attention to you.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Now, if you'd like a copy of today's message, including portions we didn't have time for, or you'd like to sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope email devotional, just go to PastorRick.com. That's Pastor Rick with two R's in the middle. You'll find this message and others along with more helpful resources. What does it take to become more loving, live more peacefully, develop patience, have self-control? People want to change, but they're stuck. Do you want to break free? Here's how. In the book, God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren, you'll find practical guidance for specific types of change and a way to connect with the power to actually make the changes you long to make. Here's Pastor Rick to tell us more.
You know, I've been a pastor for over 3 decades, and I've been teaching the Word of God for over 4 decades. And in all of that time, the number one question I've been asked by people is this: how can I change? Or why can't I change? I've talked to literally thousands and thousands of people who want to change but are just stuck, and they can't figure out how to get unstuck. You know, the truth is, you can't change on your own, because willpower alone isn't enough to make permanent changes. Sure, you can force yourself to change for a month or 2 months, but pretty soon you're going to go back to your old ways. Pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps is not enough. Talking yourself into a change by positive thinking is not enough. The Bible says true transformational change only comes through the power of God inside you. That's why I've written a little book called God's Power to Change Your Life. It's a really practical guide for making positive, practical, and lasting changes in your life. And how do you do it? By letting God work through you. Now, you and I both know there are a lot of good self-help books out there that they'll tell you the right thing to do, how to, you know, break bad habits and how to set good habits and all these great things. But they are missing the most important part. They don't give you the power to change your life. That power only comes from God. You can't get it out of a book. So let me ask you a personal question. How do you want to be different at the end of this year? What changes would you like to make in your life? What goals would you like to see accomplished in your life? Well, it isn't going to happen on your own. You're going to need God's power. And I want you to understand how to plug in to God's power. That's why this month I'm sending out God's Power to Change Your Life, a book that I've written. When you give a financial gift to support Daily Hope Broadcast and Ministries. You know, Daily Hope is 100% supported by listeners. We have no other outside source of income. It's supported by your gifts. And when you give to support this ministry this month, I want to give back to you this book, God's Power to Change Your Life. Thanks a lot for listening today, and thanks for helping support Daily Hope. We love you, we thank God for you, and we hope you'll continue to listen to this broadcast as we look into God's Word for our daily hope.
Now, we'd love to send you a copy of God's Power to Change Your Life as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Just call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com right now to request the book, God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren. Again, that's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Thanks so much. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.